the Florida Gators. They got things going last week, at the end of last week, because they have that unique, if you remember, the August 24th showdown with the Miami Hurricanes in Orlando is the way to kick off the commemoration of 150 years of college football. So the Florida Gators are underway, and who better to talk Gators than Edgar Thompson, our great friend from the Orlando Sentinel that does such a good job covering them. Edgar, how are you today?
Yeah, hey, man. I'm doing fine. Yeah, the Gators are rolling, man. They've already, what, fourth practice today? Kind of crazy. Usually this is the week where everything starts, like at the end of the week.
My favorite is when a team's
cut
like...
into my golf time.
There you go. My favorite is when a team is like 3 or 4 days in and everybody's like, how are they looking so far? And they hadn't even put the pads on yet. You just gotta acquiesce to the fans that want to know what their team looks like.
Well, they get into pads tomorrow. We're not getting a lot of access. Now, that's nothing new at Florida, but Dan Mullen was a little more, giving us a little bit more last year. I think we had several open, like full open practices. Dan's, in fact, had some too, at least a couple, maybe three. And now we're getting basically just individual drills, six period, boom, gone. And no fan open practices at all. But, fans aren't going to argue if he wins a bunch of games. And the way he coached last year, I don't think there's any reason to think that the program is going to take much of a step back this year. The schedule is very intense in October. They get Auburn here, at LSU, at South Carolina, bye week, and then November 2 against Georgia. I mean, that's really the crux of the season right there. And by then, the offensive line, which is the big question with this team, is going to have to really have gelled by that point. But I still expect this to be a pretty good season for Dan. They're certainly going to open as a preseason top 10 team, I think, based on all the things they return at the skill positions, the quarterback, who took a big step last year and not, among other things. And the defense should be quite good.
Well, and let's start with, I guess, at SEC Media Days, I thought Felipe Franks was pretty guarded and didn't really say anything too outlandish. And then you've got Lamical Pirine, who was just rocking and rolling and just seemed to soak everything up and was an incredible quote. I guess swagger is the easy word to use here. You always have somebody at Media Days that may pop off, even after Florida's gone 4-7 the year before. But how much swagger is there around this program, given the way the FSU and Michigan games, the way they closed last year and won the 10 games?
Well, it's funny that you say that Felipe was guarded. That was Felipe unplugged compared with the past. He got just killed. That redshirt freshman year where they went 4-7. He was benched three times, including in the opener against Michigan, where they got steamrolled, the Gators. And I think that was a huge blow to Felipe's confidence right out of the gate. And then, the offense was too convoluted, I think, for him to really handle. They didn't put him in the positions to succeed, which Dan Mullen came in, gave the kid a huge jolt of confidence, stuck behind him, made the offense fit his skill set, and didn't put him in positions to try to do too much in certain games. And he slowly but surely built his confidence, and certainly he had a couple of games, the Missouri game where he ended up being benched, actually, and the Georgia game the week before where he and the Gators both struggled. Especially down the stretch against Georgia and Missouri pretty much out of the gate. I think that was kind of a Georgia hangover where they were pretty dispirited that they'd lost to Georgia and were therefore out of the SEC East, contention at that point. But, Felipe bounced back from that. And I think beginning in the second half of the South Carolina game had 11 touchdowns and no interceptions in his last 4.5 games. So his confidence was burgeoning this offseason. And I think that, the team really sees this as Felipe's team now, which I don't even know at the end of last season if his teammates were sold, but certainly the public wasn't. But I don't think anyone's questioning whether Dan Mullen's going in to camp with a quarterback this year, a starter, whereas that hadn't been the case at Florida since 2014 with Jeff Driskel. Now, that season didn't go very well for him or the coach, but it's a totally different circumstances now. So, but Pirine, you know, he's the kid who came in here as a fair, I don't want to say lightly recruited, but he didn't, you know, Auburn and Alabama, I mean, he's like, oh, I turned down Nick Saban. I mean, maybe at the end, I think Saban might have come in after him because they lost a running back in the class or something. But I don't think he was heavily recruited, and he's from Theodore, Alabama. So he was his first offer was Dan Mullen at Mississippi State, in fact, you know, coincidentally. And now Dan comes here, and Pirine's here. Now, Pirine, so I think he's got a chip on his shoulder, and he's feeling pretty good about himself right now because he ended last season as the leading rusher. He shows some great pass-catching skills. I think that's really what separates him, his versatility. And I think he's poised for a huge year. I mean, he was a second-team All-SEC preseason pick, which kind of surprised me. I put him on my second team because I know what I know that he's a very good player, and I believe he's going to have a huge year. But I was surprised he's kind of gained that kind of momentum with the media throughout the league. So, you know, I think he was feeling his oats a little bit. He's back in his old stomping grounds, Alabama, and, you know, he was talking a little bit of trash for sure.
All right. You know, there's no secret that Georgia has become the team to beat in the East. And when you look at the two rosters, I mean, you kind of touched that at the start. I mean, I know Florida's had an adventurous year with the 2019 signing class, but the basic nuts and bolts of this team are very, very good as a carryover from last season, with the one big question mark, as you touched on, being that offensive line. And that's obviously where Georgia is really, really strong. How optimistic are you that Florida's offensive line can come together kind of sooner than later?
Well, I think John Hevesy, the offensive line coach, he's been doing this for a long time, is very good. You see last year's team, that was an experienced unit, but that team had a lot of scar tissue. Those guys had been beaten up going back to the Michigan Citrus Bowl in 2015 season. A lot of those guys were starting as freshmen and just getting, you know, their butts handed to them. And I think they were still not really, it was kind of like, when are these guys going to finally get it together? And they show up last season, and Charleston Southern, they're not even really dominating. And then Kentucky just absolutely, you know, manhandled them with Josh Allen in that front. So it was kind of like, man, here we go again. Well, that unit slowly but surely developed as the season went on and was pretty formidable by the end of the year. So that tells me John Hevesy really knows the right buttons to push. But he was also dealing with guys with a lot of experience. 141 combined starts, four starters that left, 141 combined starts. So now he gets a unit with 20 combined starts. And it has some real question marks and unproven and experienced pieces. But I think they're pretty confident in the first unit, which has two experienced players, Nick Buchanan at center, Brett Heggie at left guard, Stone Forsythe, the specimen at the left tackle, 6'7", 325. And I'm talking, this guy's cut. He was at media days with his sleeves rolled up. And, I mean, he's got, like, his, you know, triceps just chiseled. I mean, this is a 325-pound guy. So he looks the part. And then the right side, Chris Fleisch, redshirt freshman, I think was one of the surprises of spring practice, and I think he's going to be good. He was very good, solid. And then they have Gene DeLance, Jean DeLance, who's a transfer from Texas, so he has some pedigree. So I think that first unit has potential, and I think Hevesy can bring it along. But the big question with the Gators, as you touched on at the very beginning, mentioning Georgia, is one thing Georgia has is depth. Georgia signed 12 five-star recruits the last 2 years. 12 in the last 2 years. The Gators don't even have one five-star recruit on the entire roster right now, not one.
That's incredible.
And that's a big disparity. And, you know, you need depth. And the Gators, I think, first 22 are probably pretty darn good, and they're deep at a couple of positions like receiver and tailback. But beyond that, man, the depth is very suspect, even at cornerback, where they're super strong. They have no depth. They don't have depth at linebacker. Interior defensive line, they don't have depth. They have some on the edge. They don't have any up front. So that's and Felipe, who's going to play quarterback if he goes down? I mean, Emory Jones, I think, has a lot of potential, but can he handle an entire game plan at the age of 19 as a redshirt freshman? So, you know, you have some questions there. Whereas Georgia, I mean, yeah, they lose Jake Fromm, they lose Swift, I mean, those are huge injuries, and I'm sure, and there are other guys too, but they have a lot more, I think, you know, margin for error than the Gators will in terms of injuries and things like that, or a guy that's not having a good season, for example, because that happens too.
You're listening to Edgar Thompson. Does a great job covering the Florida Gators for the Orlando Sentinel. He's a great follow on Twitter at OS, as in Orlando Sentinel, OS Gators. You can follow Edgar. Now, Edgar, finally, I mean, you've got this unique situation. Like I said at the top, the Miami-Florida game has been moved up to August 24th. It's in Orlando. It's a way to kick off this season. And you've probably done something on this or no, but I mean, this seems like the closest thing we've ever seen to an NFL type of schedule. I mean, Florida's got 12 games over a 15-week season. That is incredible that you're talking about an SEC 15-week regular season, which would become 16 if they wound up winning the East.
Yeah, it's three bye weeks. I don't know what I'm going to do with myself. Maybe my golf game won't go down the tube quite as badly as it has in the last couple of years. But I will say that that's a lot of practice, man. This team needs it. I mean, this team is going to need it. You know, a couple of bye weeks for the Georgia game. Because if the Gators take care of business, I mean, winning at LSU is going to be tough. But that Georgia game and Auburn here is not going to be easy. And winning at South Carolina won't either. But I'd still put my money on the Gators and all of those three. But the LSU game, you have to give the nod in Baton Rouge to them. But so they could go into the Georgia game with one SEC loss, and that's going to be the game. And they still got to go to Missouri in late November, and that's not an easy one for a team, you know, from sunny Florida. You know, I'll be probably bitter cold there by then. And so the schedule's not easy, but they do have the three bye weeks. It's 15 weeks before the SEC title game. It is going to be a grind, and, you know, it's going to test the coaches and these players to how to, you know, continue to keep the rhythm of the season too. I mean, you got a bye. You play Miami, then you get a bye week. Now you do get a cream puff the next week, UT Martin. But don't you need to make a big jump from week one to week two? Most teams, and they look to do that. And then you get at Kentucky, which I think Kentucky's got a lot of rebuilding to do. But it's still not an easy game there. It never really is. And you know, then they get Tennessee here. So you know, it's a. It's an SEC schedule, man. I mean, that's just what you got to play if you're the Florida Gators. But I do feel like Dan Mullen really has this program moving in the right direction. We've discussed that before. I don't think anyone would question that he was an excellent choice, if not the best choice, for this job. And I think that it's showing quickly. And this team's in year two in the systems now. I think they're probably already up to speed at camp up to speed a lot farther ahead than they were a year ago with camp, because they're in year two of systems like Grantham's and Mullen's system, and they have a lot of experience in some key areas. So I'm interested to get this thing kicking off. I mean, it's 4 weeks still, but you know, Miami will not be a pushover in week one, especially given the fact the offensive line is going to have to prove itself, and Miami's strength is its front seven and also as a defensive minded coach, Manny Diaz, who did coach two different times at Mississippi State for a season with Dan Mullen, so he knows his tendencies.
Edgar, great stuff. Hard to believe you are already in preseason form, cranking out the articles and getting going. Thank you, as always, for joining us up here in Chattanooga on Press Row.
Sure, man. Always happy to do it. Thanks for having me.
All right. Edgar Thompson does a great job with the Orlando Sentinel. OS Gators is his Twitter handle. 648-1051 is the number. Back with more. You're listening to Press Row here on ESPN 105.1 The Zone.